Welcome to the latest edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast. I'm Roman Smith and I'll be today's podcast host. Today, we're looking back at a year like none other and looking at how we've built resilient services during COVID-19. There's no doubt that future-proofing any business involves being adaptable, and resilience is one way to ensure business services can continue in times of change. Today, I'm joined by Chris Kerr, Registration and Policy Director and Board Member at Registers of Scotland. Thanks so much for joining us today, Chris. It'd be great to find out a little bit more about you and what your job is, and of course, the Resilient Services Projects.
Hi, Roman. Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's a good opportunity, I guess, at this point to kind of reflect on what has been, as you say, quite a remarkable year. So I am, as you say, the Registration and Policy Director within ROS. That means I've got responsibility for the operational teams that look after the Keeper's various legal registers. And I've also got responsibility for the policy team, which sets the policy that the Keeper applies when she's running those statutory and non-statutory registers. And I also look after legal services, which does really the sort of work you would typically expect of an in-house legal services function, so a variety of legal advice across a range of issues. And so it's quite a wide brief, quite a lot of people in the organisation within my directorate, and always interesting, exciting and varying challenges to be dealt with.
That's really interesting to know about how resilience has impacted on your career. I'm sure everyone listening would love to know and be interested to hear a bit more about your career at ROS.
Yeah, thanks, Roman. So I come from a kind of legal background. I studied law at university and then I did a master's in law down at University College London. And after completing that, I had a couple of very small and very kind of junior roles in academia, working on legal research and other things. And then for kind of family and personal reasons, I was keen to come back up to Scotland. And I saw a job advert at ROS, who I didn't know an awful lot about at that stage. I mean, I knew about the role of the Keeper from university, but I didn't know much about the organisation that wrapped around her and the breadth of things that the organisation did. But as I read into it before applying for the job, I thought it looked really interesting. And also I was really keen on the idea of joining the civil service more generally, because I thought there would be lots of opportunities to move around. Now, as it happens, and as I'll cover in a moment, I haven't moved around a massive amount, but within ROS, I've been able to do lots of different things across government without ever, I guess, technically leaving ROS as an employee, which has been really interesting and challenging for me. So when I first joined ROS, I worked in registration. I was a legal settler. One of my main career highlights is that I worked on a ROS project in Malawi, looking at the land administration and registration system in Malawi as part of a wider World Bank project. And that, I guess, really opened my eyes to, and this might sound odd to some people, but to really the interesting challenges around land registration and land administration around the world. Before that, I guess I'd just thought about it from a kind of ROS and a Scottish perspective, and doing that kind of international work was really eye-opening for me. And so when I came back from that, I moved into the legal services team, as it was at that point, doing a kind of junior legal role in there, but also doing some policy work. And then shortly after that, I got the opportunity to be seconded onto the Scottish Government Bill team that were taking the Land Registration Bill through Parliament on the back of the Scottish Law Commission report into land registration in Scotland. And so I worked on a bill team for a couple of years, taking that piece of primary, quite long, complex, maybe not terribly controversial, but in terms of politics, but a long and challenging piece of legislation through Parliament. And that was really, really interesting and challenging and completely different to anything that I'd done before. A lot more exposure to ministers and to opposition MSPs than I'd had previously. But again, more good experience. And so after that, I worked a little bit on implementation of the 2012 Act in terms of how ROS would then run it and implement it. And since then, I've been doing various kind of roles between registration management roles and legal and policy roles in ROS. And I've managed to managed to keep my hand in quite a lot with new legislation. So I worked on other pieces of legislation along with Scottish Government colleagues in that time. And I think that probably stood me and stood the organisation, I guess, in quite good stead when we had to contribute to the emergency coronavirus legislation earlier this year, which is the most the latest piece of legislation that I've worked on. And that was quite incredible to do such an incredible kind of wide-ranging piece of legislation and get it through the parliamentary process in such quick time. I don't think I've ever done anything like that in my career before, and fingers crossed I won't do anything like that or quite like that again, but it was exceptionally interesting and challenging. And I guess I did that while I was in my current role, which I set out to you earlier, looking after the operational side of the registers and the policy and legal side of things.
Sounds like you've had a really fascinating career, Chris, during your time at Registers of Scotland and prior, covering so many different areas. One of the things the pandemic has shown is the importance of resilient services in tough times. Has the pandemic changed your perception of the term resilient?
I think it has, absolutely. It's almost shifted it completely. Resilience was something that I used to principally think of as a sort of personal quality. And I don't mean that personally I was super resilient by that, but I mean that what I tended to think about when I was thinking about resilience was, how can I as an individual be resilient to challenges in work, and how can I help people who directly report to me in wider teams to be more resilient to those challenges? And so that's, I guess, what I mean by saying it was a personal thing. I thought of it as a characteristic of individuals, really. And what I didn't ever really think of it as was an attribute of products or services. And over the last 12 months, that's become really clear to me that it is a key attribute of the products and services that we offer, that they are resilient and they're able to cope with change in demand or cope with external pressures, as we've seen over the last 12 months. And so that's been new to me, I think.
I think the term resilient does tend to apply personally to us all, Chris, especially since before the pandemic. And now, as you say, that perception has totally shifted. What does the term resilient mean in terms of Registers of Scotland?
So for Registers of Scotland, I think it still does mean that as individuals, we want to try and be as resilient as we can be. It absolutely hasn't changed that. But it also means now that we think about our products and services being more resilient. And I suppose in a really simple formulation, it means that none of our registers ever have to close in an unplanned way again. We saw at the time of the initial lockdown in the UK in March last year that unfortunately our registers had to close in a kind of unplanned and unexpected way. And resilience means that we get to a position where that never has to happen again. But also, I think it's important that we look at it through a kind of wider lens. And we think about the ecosystem that ROS works in. If you take one of the aspects of that being the wider property market. So we're looking now at how we can expand that idea of resilience to the wider property market, working with the professionals that work in that marketplace, with the Law Society and others, because there'll be no point really in the keeper's registers being able to function if other parts of that market were impacted by various external events that might impact them. So it means, I think, to summarise that, I guess, it means in a simple sense that the keeper's registers don't close in an unplanned way again. But in the wider sense, it means that the whole area in which ROS works and all of the customers we serve are able to continue conducting their business in an appropriate way, despite kind of external pressures or things that might happen. And that, you know, for customers on the front line of things, for people moving house or remortgaging or whatever they may be doing, that they aren't left in a position where their transaction pauses or falls through because the service on which they were relying at any point in that kind of chain wasn't sufficiently resilient.
As you say, Chris, our services being resilient will also have an effect on other businesses and how they work. That leads us on nicely to our next question. What do you think other organisations can learn about a digital journey in times of crisis?
Yeah, I'm always a wee bit reluctant to give advice to others. I suppose my reflection would be, particularly over the last 12 months and particularly thinking about digital transformation in a time of crisis, the key thing for me in that period and what I think we did relatively successfully was just absolute prioritisation and just being really crystal clear with priorities and the order that we would start to address things in. So I think, you know, if I look at a raw specific example for a moment, when we had to close the application record for the land register, we set in motion a very sort of clear plan and a quick plan to open that back up in a staged way, focusing on things like advance notices first, because we know that they underpin the system. And I think if we'd started to think about how can we just get the whole system back up and running straight away, we wouldn't have made as swift progress. So I think just breaking it down into those kind of smaller, more deliverable things and just really ruthlessly prioritising them, but also making sure that you do that prioritisation exercise with your customers and with your stakeholders. So not doing that in a vacuum of the things that perhaps we internally saw as being the most important things. Really important, I think, to do that collaboratively with the people that use your services. And then once you have agreement on what those key priorities are and that order of things that you will work through, just being really, really ruthless about making sure that that's all that you're focusing on in that given period, particularly, you know, you can't really conduct business like that all the time, but in a time of crisis, I think just being really ruthless about your prioritisation is an absolute fundamental.
It sounds like prioritisation and organisation is key, as well as working with our customers to ensure our services are working well for them. One of the things that we're passionate about at Registers of Scotland is digital inclusivity. Resilient services can sometimes overlook digital to provide more inclusive services for customers. Chris, how has Registers of Scotland used digital to help extend the reach of its services during the pandemic?
So I think this is one of the areas I think absolutely we want to focus on a bit more going forward, because we've done some work in this space, but I think there's definitely more for us to do. One example I might give you is really, I suppose, how Digital Submission Service has equalised the provision of services across the country in a way that maybe didn't happen before. So if you think about how the world of conveyancing and Registers of Scotland worked before, where we dealt with paper deeds coming into the office and being processed and then sent back out to applicants. Sometimes if transactions were urgent or an applicant or a solicitor needed to get an application to us really quickly, they could courier it into Meadowbank House or St Vincent's Plaza in Glasgow or Meadowbank House in Edinburgh. And that was really only an option that was available to people who were within a reasonable distance of those offices. So for other solicitors working in other parts of the country, they weren't really able to do that anywhere near as easily. And if you look at Digital Submission Services, it's completely standardised that approach, and it's meant that anyone can get an application into Digital Submission Service on the day that they need to. And those services also run now right up until midnight and then start again a moment after midnight for the next day. And of course, they run across the weekend as well in a way that the traditional model wouldn't have allowed people to be uploading applications or submitting applications to us over the weekend. So as I say, we've got a lot more to do in that space, but I think at least in its initial launch, Digital Submission Service has allowed the service we offer to be at the same level across the country and also much more flexible to people's working patterns. So as I say, if people were liable to be working earlier in the morning or later at night or over the weekend, the Digital Submission Service is there for them whenever they need it.
That's some really interesting information, Chris, that we have made submitting applications in its initial launch to be more flexible and accessible to people all over Scotland. We spoke about how we perceive the term resilient. Looking back over your career, what has helped you become more resilient in times of change?
That's another good question, Roman, and it's a hard one. And I think definitely this is something I've learned as I've advanced in my career about the importance, I suppose, of just honesty and transparency. And so I maybe think that early in my career, both internally and with customers and stakeholders, I kind of felt always as if I had to have the answers. And you always had to know what the answer was. And you always had to be able to give the answer the moment the question was asked. And that, I think, puts a lot of pressure onto people. And it's not, I've come to realise, it's not really a realistic expectation to have of yourself. And it's not the expectation that other people have of you either. So I suppose I've learned to increase my own resilience by putting a little bit less pressure on myself to always know or have the answer, and being more willing to speak with customers and stakeholders and other people internally about areas where we have uncertainty or where we're not quite sure what the right course of action is, or where things are not going quite as well as we'd want them to be. Just being clear and transparent and upfront about that helps to, I think, deliver a better outcome in the end, but also helps me personally and helps the people involved in it to feel less stressed and less under the caution in terms of while you're trying to deliver that. So I think it gives better outcomes for the organisation and for the customers and stakeholders, but it also builds resilience within the team by, and myself, I think, by just focusing on the fact that you don't have to always deliver absolutely everything and know absolutely every answer.
That's a really good takeaway from this discussion, Chris. Honesty and transparency can help to deliver an outcome for the team, and on top of that, personally help us feel less under pressure. Another key theme from this past year has been sustainability. Could you talk through how the Resilient Services Project helped to drive sustainability?
Yeah, so I think probably the main focus that we've had on that is through the digital submission service. So we have reduced almost by 100% the amount of paper coming into ROS, and that obviously reduces paper usage, but it also means that, you know, there are not vans going across the country from ROS offices and back to solicitors, burning fuel and other things and adding to traffic congestion. And what we do know, I suppose, is that we've only really made a small dent in that overall, because we know that the paper for supporting applications still exists. It's still in solicitors' offices. It just hasn't been sent to ROS anymore. So there's a reduction there in the overall use because people don't have to send in the covering sheets and print off the application form. So we've definitely reduced the amount of paper used in the conveyancing process overall, we think. But we haven't quite eradicated it. And we've certainly reduced the amount of energy used to transfer applications from solicitors' offices into ROS. What people will be hearing a bit more about, and hopefully if they're able to come to our conference in the summer, we'll hear a lot more about, is the kind of next step for that journey, where we move to what you may call proper or full electronic or digital conveyancing, which will really radically reduce the amount of paper certainly that's required for the application process and the constitution of deeds and other things. And that will be a really crucial, important next step, both in terms of resilience, but also in terms of sustainability.
Wow, that is really good to hear how our digital journey is helping to make a reduction in our use of paper. As you say, Chris, you can hear more about our conference, the Future of Conveyancing Conference, on our website. The conference is taking place in June and is free to attend. That was such an interesting discussion. Resilience is definitely something that is key in all areas of life. And as the pandemic starts to come to a close, it's inspiring to see how digital transformation will continue to make our services more resilient, sustainable, and accessible. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today, and thank you for listening.